Elizabeth Evans, and I'm a homeschooling mom of four young kids. I'm figuring this out as I go, but I'm here to talk to Bonnie, who has been writing and speaking on the subject for over a decade and has been homeschooling for three decades.
My name's Bonnie Landry. I've got seven kids. They're ages 13 to 33. I've been homeschooling for 29 years. I'm a wife, a mom, a grandma. I'm a speaker and a writer, and I'm an advocate of joy. So we're here to provide this podcast so that homeschooling can look like you imagined it to be. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. There's been this amazing response to our initial podcast and sort of surpassed anything I imagined. I don't know really what I imagined, but it was good. So our podcast is, you can listen to it. It's also on YouTube, on a YouTube channel under my name, Bonnie Landry. For those of you who don't know us, Elizabeth and I have never met in real life. And in fact, we only met virtually about 3 weeks ago. Cameron Fradd put us in touch with each other, and it was just sort of an instant bond, I thought. Yeah. So I live on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, and Elizabeth lives in Michigan. So we've sort of been thrown together, and if it hadn't been for coronavirus, this might not have happened.
I know, and what a time for this to be starting too.
I know. Yeah. It's a great podcast climate. So we've received some questions from people, and Elizabeth has some questions. So we'll just start addressing those.
Yeah. All right. The first question is, how do you start a routine, a spiritual routine, devotion with family, especially with small kids? I know I myself struggle with that. I've been trying to get morning offering going, and I fall short several mornings in a row. And we always try and pray the rosary together as a family, but How do you do it? What are your tips?
How do you do it? Yeah. Well, first of all, I would say a couple of things. One is that I'm a convert. So my prayer life has grown and changed a lot over the years. So I became Catholic as an adult. And so I've seen lots of growth and change. And in a way, some of the advantages of that, where, you know, 30 years ago, I might not have been, you know, where I would have liked to have been in my prayer life with my family. I also think I have a good reference point for building from somewhere small too, right? So oftentimes, I've heard this from many people, is one of the sort of crises of motherhood is I don't get a chance to pray like I would like to pray. And so your prayer life, if you were a devout Catholic, a devout Christian prior to children, you had probably quite a deep and rich relationship with God and spent time in prayer. And that was a fulfilling part of your life in many cases, where, once the children start coming, that can completely change that. And, I've heard mothers even say, I feel really far from God right now. I don't feel close to God. And so first of all, I think some initial remarks on that is that God is always close to us, right? So regardless of where we feel like we are with God, we know where we are, but in our conversation with him is when we feel close to him. And he also understands our situation, in an omniscient way. And so we don't have to worry that we're disappointing God in a sense, right? We're learning a new skill. Like if you lost the use of your legs, you'd be kind of starting all over again in how you would have to respond to the events in your life and the commitments in your life without this use of your legs. Now we're responding without the use of sleep, without, with our patience being tried at every turn. So we always have to bear in mind that God knows what we're doing, and we're doing something for him, right? We are having children ultimately for the kingdom of God, right? That in and of itself, if you think of it as a prayer, right, then okay, that's what you're doing all day long. Motherhood is a prayer. But in terms of, so first of all, I think that we can't have a really good family prayer life if we don't have a good personal prayer life, right? And when I say good, I'm not talking about, you know, hours at a time in prayer, or even, you know, 30 minutes of prayer altogether at one time, because it's hard to do anything for 30 minutes altogether at one time. So, you know, basically, I think what changes is that it looks different. Your prayer life looks different on a personal basis first. So, you know, life is full of lots of short aspirations, and kind of reaching out to God in all those moments when you feel impatient, in all those moments when you feel discouraged, in all those moments when, you know, you're pulling your hair out, that, you know, we have short aspirations out, you know, Lord, please help me with this. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with Father Spitzer, but he's got, if you Google Father Spitzer's, short prayers, he's got a list of like 10 different really short prayers. One of them is just help. You know? And so we have to expect that it's going to look different and kind of find our way there. So sort of from that building block of having our own prayer life be accepting the change in it and accepting that we have to move forward in it. We have to pray as a couple. We have to pray as singles. That what does it look like with our kids? And I would say, you know, a lot of times prayer life is rocky,
yeah.
Right? You know, even trying to pray a whole rosary, that's kind of a rocky experience when you have a house full of, especially little kids. As your kids get older, the littler kids tend to copy what the bigger kids are doing. And so if they, you know, they know you sit quietly at the dinner table, or you sit, you know, and you don't throw your food around, and you know, if there's older kids in the house, same, you know, when you sit down to pray a rosary, little kids, of course they're going to be wiggly and all those things we expect little kids to be, but if you have older kids in your house, definitely you're going to be more likely to have sort of success, you know, with homeschool, with a prayer life. So I would say that the best thing that we can do is start small and build on that, right? And we're really, what we're doing is modeling ourselves after the church. The church asks us to do very little, right? Just fast 2 days a week, 2 days in the entire year. That's all you have to do. You're only obliged to fast. We encourage you to do more, and we know it's spiritually beneficial to do more, but we're going to give you this tiny little thing. You only have to go to Mass on Sundays, 1 hour a week, tiny little thing, but then you build on that. Okay. Right. Yeah. So, I think it's the same, you know, so when the most important thing I think we can address is routine, right? Mm-hmm. Attach things to other things. And that goes for everything, housework, prayer life, you know, reading to your kids. Kids like to know what's going to happen next. That's really important. And if you start off with just simply, okay, we're sitting down to say breakfast. We already say grace. So let's just add a little bit to that. I'm going to say a little short morning offering. And then when that becomes easy and that becomes expected, and that's what everybody knows happens now, then you can build on that. And that might, with little kids, that might be 6 months. It might be a year. You know, it could be a long time before it's really an established habit, right? Everybody knows that's what we do, right? So I think that always attaching things to something else. So we have our little prayer routine we do in the morning, and then we have a little prayer routine we do at lunchtime. So before we say grace, we have these little prayers to do. Before we have breakfast, we have these little prayers. But, you know, it started just one at a time, adding little things one at a time. Evening, I found always the hardest time to sort of really develop a prayer routine with kids. First of all, because you're generally not doing it right after dinner because it's not bedtime yet. And so we always had a time of family prayer. We've always had a time of family prayer in the evening. One of the things that we found quite successful with our kids was giving them each a little prayer when they were age appropriately, of course, that they could be in charge of. So, you know, our prayers might take 10 minutes, you know, and each one of them would have their prayer that they would memorize and they would say, and the family would say it along with them, but they would lead it. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know, around whatever age, you know, if they're reading comfortably or you know, it's a short enough prayer that they can say it from heart. And so that has been something that has been really valuable for us when we had a house full of kids. You know, now we always pray a rosary at night together, you know, and that's our evening prayer. So, but again, you know, it's easy to throw off the routine. We actually pray a rosary while I'm cleaning up after dinner, you know, and sometimes somebody's helping me clean up. But I just found it was the one thing. If we left it till 8 o'clock at night, it would often be somebody's off doing sports and somebody's off, you know, on the computer or whatever. And people are scattered. So yeah, build it into your things that are already the hooks in your day already. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That leads me to a question, because you said that you'll pray the rosary while you're kind of cleaning up the kitchen and such. And I was thinking about that the other day. Is it okay to pray the rosary while doing other things? Because I think I look to the children of Fatima and how they would pray the rosary. And I started to wonder, wait, were they wrong just because you hear the story where they would just read the beginning of each prayer?
Right, like the title of each prayer, yeah.
And so obviously that's different than, you know, doing other housework while praying the rosary. But it had me wondering, is it okay? Because I did turn it on to pray the rosary while I was doing dishes and my kids were drawing pictures. And I was thinking, is this okay? Does this count as my rosary for today?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's an interesting question, because we have a fair bit of debate about that in our own household, right? Some people think it's better not to, some people think it's better to just be sitting and praying. Yeah. And I mean, from my perspective, two things. One is, if my hands are busy, I concentrate way better if I'm just doing mundane tasks. So for me, that's really important, right? Not everybody's like that. So I think that's a bit of discernment. You know, what's best for me? And that's what's best for me. But also I just kept saying, you know, we're just not doing it regularly. We're not praying the rosary regularly if we don't do it right after dinner. Mm-hmm. Right. And so therefore, you know, it seemed like, so everybody has sort of settled into that pattern for sure. But, you know, I think it's something that requires a bit of discernment. If, for example, if your kids were helping you clean the kitchen and mind was wandering and they, you know, weren't able to concentrate sort of thing, or be attentive to their prayer life, then, you know, that's maybe not an ideal. Mm-hmm. Right. Most of the time my family's not helping me, only because they find it better to sit and be contemplative while they're sitting. Mm-hmm. I find it easier while I'm working. So, my husband and I used to pray a rosary. We'd say our family prayers at night, and then him and I would pray a rosary while I was folding laundry at night.
Okay.
Right. And so he would say, well, I could just help you, and then we could do it. And I said, well, you know, my hands are busy. I can just do it. So if you just lead, I can get my laundry folded and feel like I'm actually, you know, having a prayer life. So yeah. So I think that, but have it more than anything, build it into something that's already there. Meals are a great thing to work around, right?
Yeah. I know we try and fail often, but we try and pray at least a decade or two a night with the kids before bed.
I've heard lots of people do that. Just one decade. Yeah. You know, that's much more doable with small children.
Right. And my two older kids are 8 and 5, and they just got to a point where they can lead, and they're excited to lead a decade. Yeah. And they ask, and they kind of fight over who gets to lead it, which is awesome. And also, don't fight over the rosary.
there's something counterintuitive about this.
Right.
So one of the things that, you know, I've heard is that people, you know, sort of praying one decade with the kids. But I also think involving them in the decision-making about, you know, I think that we should, you guys are big enough that we could add to our prayer life. What do you think would be good? You know, and sort of discussing with them, you know, we like to bring our kids into the discussion of how we run our life. Right. And, you know, and kids are good at problem solving. Boys are particularly good at problem solving, even though lots of times they are the problem. Right. If you say, hey, you know, people are being really disruptive while we're trying to pray at night, or while we're trying to read or whatever. And, you know, and, or people are being sassy or whatever the issue is, you know, I'm not sure what to do about that. Do you have any ideas? Mm-hmm. You know, and they're generally really good problem solvers. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if we pull them in, the more they feel like they have ownership on whatever aspect of family life we draw them into, the better off they're going to respond to the solution to it, right?
I do love rosary time, but there are nights where it's almost forcing myself to pray it, because I'd much rather my kids get off to bed and my part of the evening relaxing to begin.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that's just kind of, I guess, human nature. So for anybody else out there that feels like sometimes they just don't want to pray, do it anyway.
I know. Yeah, we can really feel that way for sure, right? And understandable. And it's a short time. I know it doesn't feel like a short time, but the time of having only small children mm-hmm. and no bigger children, and you're just in that transitional stage right now, right?
Yeah.
Like, wow, I can, you know, I can go have a shower because you can watch the baby or whatever, you know, and it increases as time goes by. You know, suddenly somebody can drive. Oh, could you take someone to their music lessons? Yeah. That would really be great. I wouldn't have to haul everybody with me. You know, so life changes, right? And we're very much in the moment. Whatever we're dealing with right now feels like how it's always going to be.
Yeah. Well, do you have any kind of favorite prayers, or especially for small children, that you used or still use as part of your family's routine with prayer? I know my mother-in-law had a bunch of awesome prayers, which when I first came to visit their family before I was married into the family, it was kind of overwhelming because I'm a cradle Catholic, but my parents, faith journey really took off kind of after I was grown and leaving the house. And
right. So okay.
I didn't grow up in a home where we'd pray the rosary together. The most we really did was maybe the Advent wreath and going to mass, you know, every Sunday. And so when I went and visited my in-laws for the first time, and they had morning prayer and they prayed the Angelus, and then it was the evening rosary. It was a lot. And now I look at that and I'm thinking, okay, I've got to do that too, because it's so beautiful.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's interesting. My daughter's 13. Just yesterday we were talking about this, and she said, you know, it's so overwhelming, like all the devotions that are out there and the potential ways your prayer life could look. Yeah. It's so overwhelming to sort of know what's right for you, you know. And I said, yeah, when I first became a Catholic and I had a couple little kids, and it was like, I'd hear about people doing all this stuff, which is lovely and wonderful, but I was just completely overwhelmed by it and thinking, you know, I can't possibly live up to this standard, you know. And and she said, you know, one day I'd like to write something where I just give a little description of what each devotion is like, you know, how much time it takes, what it involves, what kind of bit of background on it. And I said, yeah, you know, what else would be really remarkable in that would be to kind of explore what kinds of people might be attracted to this particular devotion. Mm-hmm. Right. And I just thought it was a neat idea. So I hope she starts some sort of little project like that. So for us, there's a couple of particular prayers that I really like. One is, Lord, we beg you to visit this house and banish from it all the deadly power of the enemy. Now I'm going to forget it. Do you know that prayer?
I don't, but it sounds
great. I should write it down. Lord, we beg you to visit this house and banish from it all the deadly power of the enemy. May your holy angels dwell here to keep us in peace, and may your blessing be upon us always. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so if we're at camp, or if we're, you know, somewhere not at home, you know, or Lord, we beg you to visit this car, banish from the whole deadly power of the enemy, right? And that is a prayer I often say, even in distress. It's one of those prayers that I often say, because it's just really beautiful, right? Just come here in our midst right now. Now's the moment, right? You know, we have a morning offering. There's lots of different versions of a morning offering, but I think that kids really respond well to a morning offering. You know, you're offering your day to the Lord, and you know, this is where we're at, and this is where I'm at, and this is how much I need you today. And you know, that's, I mean, you can even tailor that to your own family. You know, there's lots of different versions. But when our kids were really small and we were just starting out, I actually had a sort of an even shorter version of the morning offering than we use now, right? Okay. And so, yeah, I would say that it's beautiful to do a morning offering, an act of faith, hope, charity, if you can. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, grace with meals, sometimes grace after meals. Mm-hmm. And we had a set of family prayers that we used. that, but they also change liturgically. So, you know, if you, for example, for years and years, we don't do it anymore, but for years and years during Lent, we would pray the Sorrowful Mysteries every day. Right. And boy, that really hammers it in. Right. Yeah. And there's these beautiful booklets that you can get for children. You can actually get a big version of it or a small version that has a picture of each decade, you know, and it was so lovely because the kids could sit there and look at that picture. We got a whole bunch of little copies of them, and the kids, we'd hand them out and the kids could look at the pictures while we were praying the rosary, right? Yeah. You know, so that's kind of a something that I like to do, something a little bit tangible for them.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. How about you? Do you have favorite prayers for your people?
We do the guardian angel prayer almost daily, and same with the St. Michael the Archangel prayer.
Yeah.
We do a morning offering. And it's actually from the, is it the St. Joseph Catechism? It's like my primary school kids are learning.
Right.
So I got it from in there. And then there's one that I learned. It's for every time we drive somewhere. And it was, I might be wrong on this. I learned it from the president of John Paul the Great Catholic University. His daughter was one of my roommates in college. And so she taught me this prayer when you drive. And it's, Holy Mary, hear our prayer. Keep us in your loving care. Whatever the perils of this day, let us not have them on our way. And so to our caution and attention, beg a prayer for our protection. And beg God's blessing on this car. May we travel safe near and far. Amen.
Aww. Well, rhyme is good for kids too, right? Yeah. Rhyme is really good for kids. Yeah. Another thing that my husband does, and now, you know, because he's working at home now because of COVID. Yeah. And so we would always pray this in the car when we got in the car, if we were heading to, you know, out for the day or whatever, or if we were on a car trip or something like that, because it's part of his morning prayers. He has a fairly long commute, about an hour. So it was part of his morning prayers. So whenever we were with him, we would do it with him, but he prays a litany of all our kids, patron saints, you know, all their name saints, all their patron saints. Yeah. And he puts them in a litany plus any saints that we visited, like anywhere we visited that had a you know, a shrine or you know, the grave of a famous saint or whatever, we would he adds that to the litany. So on the various big trips we've gone on, you know, the litany's pretty long now, right? That's pretty long. Yeah. But it's neat because he's memorized it, and you know, and the kids know that he's praying for them. Even when we're not with him, he's praying that prayer for them every day, right? That's really cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
My in-laws will pray a prayer. Now I'll have to look up and maybe I can put it in the show notes, but it's a prayer that gets you more. So you have your guardian angel and then you get a angel from every
choirs.
Yeah, like one from every choir. So I think by the end of it, you end up with 8 angels to watch over you.
Wow.
And so my mother-in-law does that every time I'm expecting on the new baby. And aww. And when I was dating my now husband, she prayed that also. So it's really cool.
That is really cool. Yeah. And you know, those speak volumes, I think, to kids too, yeah. Right? You sort of having specific prayers, having prayer habits, you know, all these different ways in which we can approach our prayer life.
Yeah.
And how, even seeing other families and how they pray, right? That's a really cool thing for kids to see, you know, and sometimes they want to adopt that. We go this camp that we organize when we go there, we have a whole different routine that we just do at camp. We have morning prayers, we have night prayers, you know, and we have just a different routine. And yet that's what they do every year at camp. So they know about it. I have to say something's just popping into my mind when you said earlier, is it okay to work while you pray? And to some degree that's discernment. But one time I asked that of a friend of ours, he had a great comeback. I said, is it okay to, I think we were having a glass of wine. Is it okay to drink while we pray? And he goes, well, it's not okay to drink while you pray, but it is okay to pray while you drink. Okay, so it may, maybe it isn't okay to work while you pray, but is it okay to pray while you work?
Yeah.
Though, for those of you watching in the morning, by the way, this is evening here for us. If it was morning, I would have a coffee.
Right. Yeah. Oh, there's so much we could talk about with prayer.
I know. I mean, yeah, it's a big topic.
It is.
Yeah, I'll add a couple of things to the show notes as well. If somebody out there in watching land knows how to add show notes to YouTube, maybe they can tell us. Because I don't know how to do that. But anyway, that's okay. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Well, that's a good transition perhaps to my next question, which now this is to make joy normal. And what advice would you give for parents where they have a day where a child is not joyful? Where I know my son today actually was very moody. He didn't do any of his schoolwork. And I remember reading in one of your blog posts, I think it's the Insider Pro Tips blog post, about how learning isn't about checking off boxes.
Right.
And so I was trying to think about that as I'm thinking my son is not in a place to learn today. If I forced him to sit down and do his math and spelling, I mean, he wouldn't retain anything. So what advice do you have to give when there are those days where, you know, the kid, your child is moody, is just not ready to learn? Do you press on or do you take the day off or... Yeah.
Well, generally, okay, first of all, I think that was a really lovely response, because we can get really frustrated. We can try and force them, but it's a guarantee if they're in one of those funks, they're not going to learn anything. And all it's going to do is create an environment where you butt heads all day, right? So first of all, my inclination would almost always be to just back off. You know, but to qualify it, you know what, so I think something's bugging you today, you know, and maybe we just didn't need to do something quiet or have kind of a restful day, or maybe spend some time outside. Maybe we're not getting outside enough right now. And if you think there's something particular bugging them, you know, kids can't be pushed, right? But, you know, if the whole day goes by and they're still in that mood at the end of the day, you know, when you're cuddling at bedtime or whatever, saying, you know, you had a kind of a hard day today, just sort of touch the wound a little bit. You know, what do you think that was about? Or, you know, maybe they will just offer that information, you know. And again, if they're, you know, if they get their back up, we need to back away from that.
Yeah.
So my inclination would always be to just, you know, okay, you're having a tough day, I understand that. So let's approach math on a fresh day, you know, or maybe it's a Friday. Okay, we've got the weekend, so we'll pick it up again on Monday, you know, and I think you'll probably be fine after a weekend of playing or whatever, you know. So first of all, we want to be getting to the bottom of the issue. What's going on with that? And sometimes it's just overtiredness, right? It's nothing we can fix or do anything about. Here's one of the things that I think is really important to remember, if that's going to be your attitude, is I think we just need to back away. People will think they're taking advantage of you. Okay. They will take advantage of you. So the next day they're going to say, mommy, I'm too tired to do my schoolwork, mommy. But in honest truth, that isn't what happens. Okay. And I know this from experience, and I know this because I'm a human being, and I know it about myself. For example, if my husband came home from work and I had had a hard day and you know, supper wasn't made, and you know, he was hungry, and he said, you know, oh, okay, well, you know, whatever, let's just get it done, and you know, we're just gonna have to get supper on the table, right? And he was, you know, angsty or frustrated or trying to kind of make me do what I was maybe not capable of doing in the moment. My response would be to get my back up. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm talking not even about being unkind, maybe he's offering to help, but just being frustrated, right? Which is how we tend to get when our kids are not doing what we want them to do, and not cooperating with us. That's not going to help me at all. If my husband said, you know, you look like you've had a really hard day, you know, we could just, why don't we order something out? Or, you know, would you like me to make supper tonight? We just have something easy and scrambled eggs and toast or whatever. Well, how could we make this work for you? You know, everybody's hungry, but you know, that's okay. We'll figure something out. It's really simple, right? I could pick up pizza. then suddenly he's on my side, right? And not only am I not feeling angsty and getting my back up, I'm thinking, wow, that's really, really nice. And what is going to happen is that the next day, I'm even going to be more considerate of, okay, you know what, that was so nice yesterday. I really, you know, need to make a nice dinner tonight because I was just so tired yesterday or whatever, or I need to just work at not being grumpy with the kids so that I'm not grumpy when he gets home or whatever. I don't take advantage of that.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Human nature is to respond in kind. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, you know, that would almost always be my advice is, you know what, just keep them close to you. That's what you want to do more than anything is keep them close to you. Yeah. Okay. Because your influence over your children dies as soon as they're not close to you anymore. Yeah. Right. And sometimes that can be momentary. And sometimes it's a habit that you build over years. And then suddenly they're teenagers and they are not close to you. Right. Right. We don't want to go there, you know? And so I think that when I give that answer, I want to give that qualification, you know, that, yeah, just hold them close, you know, be close to them. Don't force anything out of them. You know, let them know that you're doing this, you know, because you think that's what they need. You know, honestly think that's what they need. And, you know, we have to avoid the, okay, fine, don't do your work today. Right. We have to avoid that. Because that's not accomplishing the same goal, you know, as you know what you're it's hard. I can see that this is hard. Yeah. You know, and we have to trust that they will not take advantage of that, but will in fact respond in kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's good advice. Yeah. I have been guilty of thinking, oh, well, what if he manipulates me again? Mm-hmm.
We all do. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think more often than not, I kind of force the situation with, you know, kindness and not anger, but today yeah. It was, yeah, I just thought, well, okay, well, you can take the day off, but mm-hmm. His brother still did his work. And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's hard sometimes when you're dealing with siblings, you know, cause there's probably one sibling every day who could take some time off. Yes. You know, and I think sometimes we have to come alongside and to that sibling and, you know, if they start saying things like, well, why doesn't he have to do his work? And I have to do my work. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I mean, there go I, but for the grace of God, right? He's having a hard day. I don't think you want to be having a hard day. I don't think you want to be in his shoes right now. And, you know, when you have a tough day, you know, we're going to operate the same way. You know, you can come to me and say, Mom, it's just too hard for me today. Or I'm just, you know, I'm feeling weepy or I'm feeling, you know, like I need to be outside or whatever, you know, and so it's an opportunity for growth for kids.
How do you know when it just isn't working? Homeschooling, you know, is there any instance where homeschooling is not for a child or a parent? Can't or shouldn't homeschool?
Yeah, this is a really good question. So I find it very difficult to separate anything out of relationship. Okay. So in a way, the question to my ears sounds like, what do you do if the relationship with your kids isn't working? Mm-hmm. Right. And so what would you do? You know, you can't give them up for adoption.
Right.
You know, you have to work on that relationship. You have to do that.
Yeah.
So just if we can sort of think about that context for just a moment, this may be a long answer, but I'll give you a short answer version. And if you, or if any other, you know, listeners or whatever would like to hear a longer version of this answer, please let me know. And we can address it in a fuller sense. In my, you know, having been a speaker for 20 years and, you know, kind of coming into contact in sort of a leadership role in the homeschool community for so long, that in my experience, I have only ever come across one situation where I thought that is a family that should not be homeschooling. Okay. Right. And I won't go into the reasons why, but it was, from every perspective, it was not working. I think that if you love your kids and want the best for your kids, and you believe that homeschooling is the right thing to do in the response to those desires and those goals in your family life, that you should be able to do it, right? I think there are some situations where a mother is so stressed mm-hmm. about schooling her kids and doing a good job of it, that may not be good for family life. Okay. And my initial response to that would be, then it's really important that you deal with that stress, however that looks for you. I have known people who've pulled their kids out of school for put their kids in school for a couple of years just to kind of get a handle on what's going on in their life, and then brought them home again. I've known actually several situations where that's happened. You know, in an ideal world, we would be able to manage our stress without having to put the kids in school to do that, right? But, you know, again, it's a process of discernment. Nobody can ever say for a particular person in a particular family what's right or what's wrong. But what I do know is that if you want to homeschool, you can make it work, right? If you're motivated to make it work. But it might really call you to the mat on how you approach this thing.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. And so I think oftentimes we have to step back and really look closely at what's going on, and why you feel it isn't working for either the child or for you, or for the, you know, father of the family. What, you know, what is going on in the family dynamics, the dynamic that makes this not work? Okay. And do we want to change that? Mm-hmm. Right. And so there's a lot more I could say about this, but I think that just some initial thoughts on it, and we'll see if that question gets sort of explodes a little bit more.
That's great.
Yeah. So we just want to remind people to please submit questions to, you can submit them to Instagram. You could submit them on my Facebook page, Make Joy Normal. You could email me on my website. I've got my email address there. And, or you could private message me over Facebook. Lots of different ways you could submit your questions, and people have been doing so far in various ways. So that's great. We'll try and keep on top of that. And, I think, is that everything? I'll add a few things to the show notes. I think you will as well. And we'll sign off till next week.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. God bless.